Okay, so this morning you got the little teaser on the passage we were going to do tonight, which is from 1 Peter chapter 4. There's only a portion of it we're going to do. And really centering on what Jesus had to say this morning about taking up your cross and following him and the idea of suffering, and in particular, suffering for his name, suffering, the insults of knowing him, of being a part of his life, of being united to him. And that's what this passage is really kind of pointing us to, wanting us to consider and think through. And Peter seems like a wonderful guy to be able to teach us on this with his life and what he endured in multiple ways. So I'm just going to read, I'm not going to worry about verses 7 through 11. I'm going to start in verse 12, and we'll just look at verses 12 through 19. So here's God's word. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have delivered to us, that you inspired through the pens and the hearts of men by your Holy Spirit. And you've given us these words of encouragement, these words to convict, these words to call us to perseverance in the faith, remind us of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you tonight for this word. We pray that you would bless us in our time, guide us in this time and in our discussion following. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one of the things, so we understand what we're talking about when we're talking about suffering here, we can talk about it in some ways general suffering that takes place that is true to every person on the planet. Everyone goes through different types of suffering, whether that's sickness. They suffer certain things for certain reasons, whatever that might be. And that doesn't mean that, there is application from this to that type of suffering, and I'll make some points with regard to that. But what he has in mind in particular, as you saw, being insulted for Christ, suffering for the name of Christ. This is suffering that's particular to Christians, to only those who call themselves or name the name of Christ and that they are connected to him. Again, this doesn't mean it doesn't have some application to general suffering that we all endure at various times. So I've kind of got a little outline. There's going to be overlap in this outline because there's just overlap in everything you do. But it's three P's for those of you that like to take notes. I want to look at the perspective on suffering, really look at the mindset. I want to look at the purpose of suffering. And then we'll see the product, or what suffering's producing, what the result is that's coming from that. And we're only going to spend a little time. This is probably going to create a lot of conversation. I hope it does, deeply connected to what we had this morning. So first is perspective on suffering. We have to think of suffering in the right way. We have to get our minds around what it is. And the way that Peter brings these things together, I think, is helpful to us. Obviously, it's the Word of God. Look at how he begins here in verse 12. He says, beloved, do not be surprised. The word surprise is bewildered. Don't be bewildered that you would suffer in this life. Don't be surprised at a fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. How many of us just experience just general suffering? We typically think, well, where did this come from? I'm a Christian. Why would I suffer in this way? Many of us have categories to understand that we're going to suffer as Christians. We're going to suffer in this life. And Peter, you know, he's writing to people that are going through deep persecution in a way that we probably don't really understand. It's closer to what you heard this morning about the guy Jolly. He's saying, don't be surprised by this. This is totally what is going to happen to you. Jesus said to expect it. So don't be surprised by it. Instead, look at verse 13. Recognize, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering. Why should you not think it's strange? Why should you not be surprised by this? Because you are in Christ and you're going to share in his suffering. That is part of your life. It's the pattern that Jesus gave us. You see his life of suffering into glory. You don't get to escape that pattern. Take up your cross. This isn't like, oh, go take up your cross and just go. Remember, take up your cross and follow me. I'm walking the life of suffering. I'm going down that road. And if I am, as Jesus speaking, so are you. This is nothing to be surprised by. Your Savior suffered incredibly, and so will you, because you're connected to him. There's more to think on that. I'm going to save some of that just for a minute. But to help you think through the sharing in Christ's sufferings, just to be clear, this is not taking part or contributing to his atoning work. Nothing you suffer is contributing to his atoning work on the cross. It's not what this is talking about. It's speaking of it in a different way. Well, it's not just that you should not, you know, think it strange or see it as Christ's sufferings. Look at verse 14. This one's probably hard for us to swallow. If you're insulted for Christ, you are blessed. How many of us go around thinking, suffering is such a blessing? I enjoy this. I enjoy rejection. I see it as such a blessing in my life that someone would reject me because of Christ, or maybe even just generalized suffering. Do we see suffering as a blessing? He calls it that. We're going to talk about that in a minute, a little bit more. But this is where I think when he says, you know, insulted for the name of Christ, it's sort of an unfair charge. This means that you will even suffer the misperception that people have about what it means to be a Christian and what you believe. How many of you experience that? All you have to do is look at social media. People are completely confused about what Christians believe. It's mischaracterized, it's misunderstood. And you're going to suffer that simply because you call yourself a Christian. You're going to be seen as someone who's hateful, intolerant, judgmental, simply because you have the name Christian in front of you. What we're all going to experience. We have to be willing to be misunderstood. I know in college when I first became a believer, I played tennis for A&M, and the guys in the team, you know what their nickname was for me? I forgot about this. Father Brent. Most of them were Catholic, obviously. But it was not a term of endearment, let's say. It was a term of derision because I carried my Bible, because I spoke about Jesus, because we talked about things. I was Father Brent. Don't call me Father Brent. Even if you mean it in a nice way, Emily. You know, thinking about this, I want to speak to our children for a minute. Those of you that are young, you're in schools. Some of you are in, you know, Trinity, where Christ's name is lifted high and holy. But you're going to go to places in college, or some of you are in public school, where you get insulted for knowing Jesus. They don't want you over at their house because you go to church. All of us experience that on some level. And what I want to tell our children is, it's a blessing. Don't compromise the faith or look at that and say, well, I'm a, you know, you need to see it as you share in Christ's sufferings. And it takes maturity to do that, and it takes a lot of experience of going through that. But I want to encourage our young ones. You're going to be persecuted for your faith. And you need to be prepared for that. It's going to get worse, more than likely, in our situation. So don't think it's strange. Recognize it's Christ's sufferings that you share in. It's a blessing. And then lastly, I think this one is so helpful for us. Look at verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer, notice this, according to God's will. All of us in here know that there's nothing that takes place outside of God's will. There's just nothing. We believe in the sovereignty of God. He's ordained all things to come to pass. Even your suffering. Even the ways that you are shamed for knowing Christ. It's all part of his design. Remember the pattern. Humiliation. You're going to experience the suffering because you're in Christ. And God's will is to make you more like Jesus. And one of the ways he makes you more like Jesus is through your suffering. God's will is your sanctification. You cannot avoid it. So just sort of bring that perspective into one sentence. Don't be surprised by this. Recognize it as a sharing in Christ's sufferings, which is a blessing to you. And it's all according to the will of God. Now, what about the purpose? Purpose of suffering. Look at back at verse 12 again. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. This is not an examination. This is not the word, especially for our young people, this is not talking about that you're taking a written exam. And the whole point of this is so that you can take an exam about your suffering. That's not what it's talking about. It's to test you. It's the word, when you see the word fiery trial, it's this word for burning. Think of refiner's fire. It's testing you. It's proving you. It is purifying you. The suffering you experience is to make you holy. It is to purify you in that way. And I think often we forget, you know, what goes on in our time of suffering. I mean, how many of us in the point of suffering think clearly? We all want out. I just want this to stop. And I can't remember if I shared this with you. I've shared it with other people. And so if I told you this before, it's okay. It fits here perfectly. And it's something John Piper said, so it must be really good. Much better than I could tell you. A little podcast where he's talking about suffering and how you see it. And he says that during your time of suffering, don't try to truncate that. Don't try to just get out of it. He says there's certain fruit that you can eat in your time of suffering. And there's only certain fruit that you can eat during that time of suffering. That tree, if you can imagine it, doesn't exist outside of your suffering. You need to be in suffering to have access to this fruit. And the fruit would be understanding more yourself, how you deal with things and suffering that really brings those things to the surface about your character and who you are. Counterintuitive in many ways. Look at verse 13. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory. How does suffering bring joy? How does that happen? One of the ways is, especially when you suffer for the name of Christ, it confirms to you that you're in him. It confirms to you your union with him. If Christ suffered this way and I am suffering that way, I am found in him, and your joy is that you're in him. It confirms that you know him. Do you think of suffering as grace? It's graciousness to us. And notice there's sort of there's a joy and there's a hope that comes with it, because he says, you know, rejoice now so that you can rejoice then when his glory is revealed. When you're in that suffering and you realize that, you're looking forward to that time when Jesus, his glory is completely going to be revealed, and you're rejoicing as wonderful it is in this time. At that point, you're rejoicing in suffering. How much more do you rejoice in exaltation? and in the glory and the freedom from the persecution and the suffering you came through. It's producing joy, hope, worship. Look at verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. Suffering, ultimately, you know this, because everything is for this, is for the glory of God. Everything, in this sense, what I want you to think about it, is when you suffer, you bear witness to Christ, especially when you suffer for his name. Think about just one aspect of this. I might give you two, but one for sure. How does this function when we share the gospel? What's one of the greatest fears that people have for sharing the gospel? What? Rejection, right? Rejection. If you share the gospel with somebody and are rejected, what has just happened? You share in Christ's sufferings. He was rejected over and over and over. And when you come and you share the truth of Jesus Christ with someone and they reject you, and reject you in a way that sometimes means no more relationship, you can rejoice because you're sharing in his sufferings. That is so counterintuitive for us. This is why when we read Acts chapter 5, at the end, when Peter and others are arrested. So you got to think Peter's got this story in his mind when he's telling this, when he's writing this letter. You know this story. They get arrested. They get told, you know, not to preach, but they also get beaten. And you know what it says? This is so strange. Not really, but it is. They leave what? Rejoicing that they suffered dishonor in his name. It led to rejoicing. In some ways, that should actually propel us into sharing the gospel. And if we're rejected, we rejoice because we share with Christ. That same rejection. You know, when I think about this, taking it out of the idea of suffering just specifically as a Christian for his name, all of these things, one of the questions about suffering is really how we endure it. How do we endure the difficulties of life? What does it teach us? How do we teach others in the midst of it? How do we endure those things? We love it, you know, in the sense when there are people we know that have been through hard times and we see someone else going through a hard time. We're like, hey, go over and talk to Johnny. Johnny has suffered greatly in the same way. And we take Jim. That's so ridiculous. Too many Jims. Brad. And we say, Brad, go talk to Johnny. Johnny knows about life. Johnny's been through difficulty and he's endured it well and he knows his Savior and he's going to help you walk through this to see Jesus even more clearly and understand this life. None of us enjoy suffering. None of us want to be there. None of us want to endure that. But the Bible over and over and over promises it to us in many ways. And we should rejoice when we suffer for knowing Jesus. Rejoice that we've been numbered among him. And we have that union confirmed when it happens. I hope this creates some conversation, how this connects to what Jesus said this morning of take up your cross, willingness to suffer shame for the gospel. Remember, he says not for murder. We're not talking about suffering for sin. Suffering for Christ. Let me pray, and then we can do that. Heavenly Father, you show us difficult things like this, and we know our Savior endured difficult things, despising the shame, enduring the cross for the joy that was set before him, and you call us to that same type of pattern. Lord, may we be happy, willing, joyful to come and be those who would suffer in the name of Jesus. Give us even opportunities. How scary of a prayer is that? Give us opportunities to suffer for the name of Christ, that your name might be lifted up high and holy, and that we might be used in that way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.